two short, elderly women were out driving in a large car. Both could barely see over the dashboard. As they were cruising along, they came to an intersection. The stoplight was red, but they just went on through. The woman in the passenger seat thought to herself, "I must be losing it, but I could have sworn we just went through a red light." After a few more minutes, they came to another intersection, and the light was red again. And again, they went right through. This time, the woman in the passenger seat was really very concerned that she was losing her mind. She was getting nervous and decided to pay very close attention to the road and the next intersection to see what was going on. At the next intersection, sure enough, the light was definitely red, and they did go right through it. She turned to the other woman and said, "Mildred, did you know we just ran through three red lights in a row? You could have killed us." Mildred turned to her and said, "Oh, am I driving?" So who was driving? Mildred or the other woman who was mistakenly thinking she was in the passenger seat? Whoever it was, they were both together, sailing through life, and by the grace of God, unscathed while doing it. In a rather disturbing way, they can all too well describe much of what has been traditional America, not paying attention to what's really going on. Hurtling onward toward the certain doom of God's judgment for jettisoning him, his laws, his word, his presence, his Savior, from all aspects of our national and civic life. Why, just late last month, a case was argued at the Supreme Court to determine whether public prayer is constitutional or not. Back in 2014, authorities in Ocala, Florida, organized a public prayer vigil to help the community heal from a shooting spree. Atheists were offended and tried to get the event canceled. When they were unsuccessful, they sued. The case has finally reached the highest court, and now we should pray that public prayer will be declared constitutional and should never be hindered in any way. This case is just one example of how far much of our country has fallen away from faith in God. Many have completely forgotten him, and in his place, they have turned aside, as Paul warns us in 2 Timothy 4:3-4, to follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. They will reject the truth and chase after myths. But while this can describe the many neo-pagans living among us, those Paul really had in mind are people who had at one time been church members. And while continuing their church membership, they've rejected the truth and chased after myths. And in so doing, they've become complicit in moving American society toward the open worship of evil and the demons constantly inciting ever greater depravity. Nearly all of them have now jumped on the bandwagon of women's right to control their own bodies and freedom to murder their pre-born or even post-born babies whenever they want. Even those who swear they are completely non-religious and do not worship anything don't realize they are but pawns in the hands of hordes of evil spirits led by Satan who are fighting against God. For human beings are incapable of not worshiping something. We are hardwired to worship, for we innately know that we are creatures surrounded by forces greater than us. But most of us don't want to acknowledge this because we want to assert control over our lives. We want to have the last word. We fight against anything that suggests that we have to answer to someone or something else. This, folks, is our pride. And so the evil, unclean, dirty, filthy, polluted, adulterated spirits use our pride to accomplish their mission in sticking it to God. whom they loathe and hate. They are no dummies, and they turn our self-pride into hatred of God too. Many multitudes of humans are caught up in their snares. Indeed, some whole nation states are given over to this worship of demons and have been since the fall of Adam. These people are all headed for destruction, death, and damnation. But they don't think so. They're so fooled that they think they're leading humanity into an eternal life of paradise on earth, a paradise of total freedom and self-glorification, gratifying every want, desire, and lust without measure and in total abandon. That is the unfettered liberty and complete self-satisfaction that will be paradise. Why, even America's founding documents declare that one of our fundamental rights is the pursuit of happiness. And folks, why, that is exactly what it means. As we spoke of last week, many think children are, at best, impediments to our individual self-actualization and self-exaltation. But, well, other people's children can be quite useful for sexual indulgence and heights of pleasure, which is why sex trafficking is rampant all across the globe. Why do you think America's southern border is wide open? Oh, it's not to help refugees, asylum seekers, and the poor masses of other countries who yearn to breathe free in a land of the free to pursue the American dream. Oh, no. Mixed in the multitudes crossing over daily are a smidgen of such. But the masses coming over are being imported to become sex slaves. There are more human slaves now than the sum total of all prior history. And nearly all of them today are sex slaves. In many cases, the younger the better. Just days-old babies are raped and then thrown away. Auction markets are held in some cities in India, which wealthy Arabs live stream on their cell phones, bidding on those they want shipped over to them. Sex tourists, mostly rich men from around the world, go to the slums of Mexico and Latin America, Thailand and Southeast Asia, South Asia, Africa, to freely engage where laws are lax and authorities turn a blind eye. Because those governmental officials are bribed and part of the ever-flowing money stream. Many nations' central governments are so corrupt that not a single person has the guts to stand up to this unceasing avalanche of evil. Folks, sex trafficker Jeffrey Epstein represents just the teeniest tip of a stinking, putrid global iceberg that has ensnared the majority of the world's power brokers. Governments, politics, judges, police, none of them are up to the task of combating this black wickedness. The face of what's infected the world is being exposed and becoming more and more obvious. They think they're so powerful now that more and more are willingly coming out in the open, no longer hiding their crimes, but reveling in them. How could it be that a candidate for state office in New York State has released his own pornographic video to advance his campaign? What has this nation come to? Yet Psalm 5, 4-6 declares, O God, you take no pleasure in wickedness. You cannot tolerate the sins of the wicked. Therefore the proud may not stand in your presence, for you hate all who do evil. You will destroy those who tell lies. The Lord detests murderers and deceivers. My God, is there any question why we're now in the end times? Our Savior can hardly wait to return to put an end to this reign of evil on earth that so many oblivious people have allowed to take over. So many good people have, sort of like those two elderly women in the big car, have been asleep at the wheel, and even now don't know and don't want to know what's really happening. If the church doesn't fight this, who will? Is the church been put on earth by Christ Jesus to be his instruments to free these children, his children, to save their lives that they may find rest and love in the arms of the Savior? Even in Lord Jesus' day, children were to be kept away. His disciples shooed them away and scolded the parents for bringing them. But Lord Jesus, in turn, scolded the disciples, ordering them to let the children, each child, to come freely to him that he might bless them. For the kingdom of God belongs to those who are like these children. As King Solomon closed out his book called Ecclesiastes, he stresses the most important thing he has learned in his entire life, a lesson which he forgot to practice himself for most of his own years. In this last chapter, Solomon admonishes the readers to remember God. Amazingly, Solomon doesn't just state this once, twice, or even three times. 8 times he pleads with us, remember God. Because when we forget him, destruction, death, and damnation are not far behind. But for those of us who do remember God, our Savior, as Psalm 46, 1 through 3 proclaims, God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. So we will not fear when earthquakes come and the mountains crumble into the sea. Let the oceans roar and foam. Let the mountains tremble as the waters surge. So, believers, make now the prayer proclamations of Psalm 5, 11, and 12 your own. Let all who take refuge in you, God, rejoice. Let them sing joyful praises forever. Spread your protection over them, that all who love your name may be filled with joy. For you bless the godly, O Lord. You surround them with your shield of love. So, don't forget. Remember him. He loves you. He really does. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord God, Father, for creating us to be loved by you. And since we are loved by you, help us to love you back and to love each other. In Jesus' name, amen.